In your Bible at Psalm 27, I continue tonight the series that I began a long time ago on Wednesday night under the title, Life More Abundantly, based on John chapter 10 at verse number 10, where Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Psalm 27, I'll begin reading at verse number 11, and I'll read down through verse number 14. But before I do, I want you to bow with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Father, how grateful we are tonight for the echoes of mercy and grace and peace that come to us by your blessed word. I don't know how to begin to talk about what I'm going to talk about tonight. We all need to learn what I'm going to talk about tonight. So I pray that you'd give us an extra portion of wisdom, an extra measure of grace to get it in our hearts that you're in control and we must learn to wait upon the Lord. Now bless this time together. In Jesus' name we ask it with thanksgiving, we pray. Amen. Psalm 27, I begin at verse number 11, where the psalmist cries out of his heart, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. I want you to take your Bible up and read that aloud with me. I want you to listen and look as you read it, and just let God do something to your heart through the reading of this verse together. As we read it aloud, verse number 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Now, whether or not you realize it, your heart is already stronger since you read that verse. You cannot read God's word without being strengthened by it. Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word became the joy and rejoicing of mine heart, for I'm called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. The word of God does something to you and to me that nothing else can do. We don't need another Bible. We don't need a revised edition. Every word of the Lord is pure, sanctified, purified seven times in a furnace of earth, the Bible says in Psalm 12. And God went on to say that he would be preserved in every generation. So we have the preserved, perfect, pure, powerful, inspired Word of God right here. Thank God for his Word. Appreciate that testimony. Just thanking God for the Bible. It's a lot to be thankful for. Wait on the Lord. Now, the waiting experience, ladies and gentlemen, is one of the most difficult experiences in the Christian life. It is hard. We don't even want to wait at a stoplight or stop sign. We don't even want to wait for the wife to put the supper on the table. We want to rush in and dig in ahead of time. It's hard sometimes for us to wait. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to be in trouble the moment we get ahead of God. The moment we go beyond what God has prescribed for us or try to chart the course of our own lives and do what we want to do rather than waiting upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. What does it say? Wait upon the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Then he repeats it. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Are you learning to wait? Do you have patience to just say, now, Lord, you're in control of my life. You're in control of the universe. You're in control of all the planets, all the universal systems. And if God, listen, ladies and gentlemen, if God is big enough to take care of all of this whole world system and all these universes and all the stars and all the planets, surely he can take care of you and take care of me. If God can keep all of those planets on their trackless path around the sun, surely he can guide your footsteps across the street, across the city, across the state, or wherever, or whatever. I say one of the most difficult experiences is the waiting experience. We're living in an age of impatience. When they write to describe this generation, they will have to say one of the things about this generation was they were absolutely, totally impatient, unwilling to wait. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen thine heart. Now I'm talking to you from the subject, God wants you to learn how to wait upon him. First of all, I ask the question, how should we wait upon the Lord? Now remember the verse says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, don't give up, don't get discouraged, don't get despondent, don't go in the valley of despair, and if you do get down there, don't stay. Everybody once in a while goes through a valley. Dark valley, deep valley sometimes. Maybe it's physical suffering. Maybe it's mental anguish. Maybe it's financial reverse. Maybe it's a spiritual hang-up of some kind or something in your life that carries you through depression, despondency, despair. But wait a minute, you don't have to stay there. Be of good courage. Wait on the Lord and he shall strengthen thine heart. How should we wait? Number one, we should wait silently to enjoy communion with the Lord. I'll never forget the first time that I walked into the sanctuary of the First Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas. That was almost 45 years ago, the last part of 1950. I walked in as a young man. I knew Dr. Norris. I'd heard him preach. He'd been in my home, in my dad's home, and I knew about the great First Baptist Church. 5 months later, Helen and I were married in the First Baptist Church by Dr. Norris. When I walked in, I saw Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20. Open your, turn back there to Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 20. Now that's on page 957 in my Bible. Probably doesn't mean a thing to you, but if you got a Scofield reference Bible, it might. 957, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 20. And these words were just emblazoned across that large auditorium. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Now, nobody here tonight is guilty of this, but I sit on the platform every Sunday. And I watch people while somebody's up here singing a special, sitting there talking to each other. Bible says, let the whole earth keep silent. There's a time to talk and there's a time to be quiet. When the ladies are playing the instruments, I watch people back there getting caught up on their conversation. I think we might ought to put Habakkuk 2:20 up here. The Lord of heaven and earth is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Learn to wait on the Lord silently and commune. Let your heart commune with God. You see, prayer is more than just saying some words. Prayer is an attitude of the heart. God can strike something in your heart the moment you enter those doors. This is a holy place. This is a reverent place. This is a place to be revered. Now, I'm not saying we ought to worship the pews or worship the altar or worship the whatever. I'm saying, though, this is God's house. Besides all that, my mama told me it's impolite to talk while somebody else is talking. The Lord is in his holy. What kind of temple? holy temple. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. Learn to wait silently to enjoy the communion. Just open your heart to God. Whisper a prayer for the choir. Whisper a prayer for the preacher. Whisper a prayer for the musicians. Whisper a prayer for the service. Whisper a prayer for soul. Be silent and let your heart commune with God. Secondly, we should wait patiently to offer prayers and petitions. Now that first one leads right into the second. We should wait patiently, not only silently, but patiently to offer prayers and petitions. Turn to Psalm 40 and verse number 1 and verse number 2 and verse number 3. In the 40th Psalm, what a marvelous thing this is that the psalmist reminds us of that he did, and you and I can do the same thing. Isn't it wonderful that we can do the same thing the characters in the Bible? So I said, oh, if I had lived back in the Bible days. Well, you're living in Bible days. You got the Bible in your hand. These people didn't even have the Bible in their hand at that time. The psalmist said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and what? Heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And I think I ought to tell you, when God establishes your goings, you'll be going in the right direction. Establish my goings. Put a new song in my mouth. Now watch this. Even praise unto our God. Many shall hear it. No, that's not what it said. Many shall read it. That's not what he said. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I've said this to you before. I think it bears repeating. Many people are going to hell tonight, not because they've never heard the gospel, but because they've never seen the gospel in your life and mine. Every time somebody looks at us, they get some kind of impression of Jesus Christ, some kind of impression of the church, of the gospel, of the Bible, of the truth. Amen. Putting ourselves in a position to wait patiently and offer our prayers and petitions. And by the way, when you pray, don't out-talk God. Prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is a dialogue. You talk to God, and God talks to you. Now, God's not going to speak to you audibly. He's already spoken in his word. Holy Spirit will impress your mind to go to a certain verse of Scripture. Holy Spirit of God will direct your mind to listen to what the pastor's saying or reading. Many shall see it. Learn to wait patiently. Notice the psalmist didn't just say, I waited for the Lord. He said, I waited patiently. And he listened to me. God listened to me. And God inclined his ear to me. And God heard me. And God brought me up out of a pit. And God put my feet on a solid rock. And God put a song in my heart and in my mouth. Wait patiently. Number three, we should learn to wait observantly to hear instructions. God has a whole book of instructions. We call it the Bible. God instructs us. Turn to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs the 8th chapter. And by the way, the book of Proverbs is the book of wisdom in the Bible. Now that's not the only book you can get wisdom from, but this is the book of wisdom. That's why I have insisted for a number of years that you read one chapter in Proverbs every day of your life, preferably in the morning when you start out. You don't want to be like the little boy said. He always said his prayers at night because he figured he could take care of himself in the daytime. No, you need the word of God day and night. The psalmist said, day and night have I called upon the Lord. Day and night have I meditated upon the word. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 32 says, now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children. Isn't that a compassionate and comforting term there, children? We are the children of God. Children. He's our Father. Now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, For blessed are they, happy are they, hilarious are they that keep my ways, that is, that obey my statutes, my commandments. Now look at verse 33. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Only a fool refuses instruction. A wise man listens. Listen to God. Wait observantly to hear what God has to say. Remember, God gave us two ears and one mouth. That ought to say something to us, hadn't it? Two ears, one mouth. Hear instruction. Be wise. Refuse it not. Blessed, there it is again, hilarious, happy is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors, waiting in the house of God, longing to hear from God. And sadly enough, only time some Christians ever hear the Word of God, see the Word of God, or read the Word of God is when the preacher's doing it. I can't do all your Bible reading for you. You've got to learn to read it yourself. Thy word have I hid in my heart. Study to show thyself approved. Listen, waiting observantly to hear what God has to say. Hear the instruction, be wise. Don't turn a deaf ear to what God has to say. That's what he's saying, because happy is the man that does what? Heareth God, watching daily, waiting at the post of my doors. We need to learn to wait silently, patiently, observantly. Number four, we should wait obediently to receive direction from God. Turn to Psalm 25 and verse number 5. Psalm 25 and verse number 5. I said we should learn to wait obediently that we might receive direction for our lives. There's not a person here tonight that knows how to chart his or her own life. We have to have directions from God. Look at verse 5 of Psalm 25. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. All the day I wait upon the Lord. Why? To get directions from him. So I'll know how to walk, where to walk, when to walk. How to talk, when to talk, what to talk. And by the way, make sure that your walk matches up with your talk. Don't talk the talk unless you walk the walk. By the way, the most religious people in the world, quote unquote, are people that never go to church. You talk to them out there on the job. They can tell you what the Bible says. They don't have the slightest idea. They just heard somebody say something. You know what that is. Learn to wait obediently. And then I think the fifth way we should wait is to wait expectantly for the return of the Lord Jesus. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want to read verses 9 and 10. I want you to look at it as I read it. It's such a wonderful thing to listen and look at the same time. And it's good to look, because the eye is a better pupil than the ear. What you see, you'll remember a lot longer than what you just hear. Verse 9, verse 10, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Well, they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. To do what? To wait. To wait for his Son. Now that doesn't mean sit down and twiddle your thumbs and never do anything, because Jesus said, occupy till I come. But this word wait here means be expectant. Be on the lookout. Watch and wait. For what? For the return of our Lord Jesus, who has delivered us from the wrath to come. What is the wrath to come? The great tribulation period. We are pre-tribulationists. What does that mean? We believe that Jesus will come to rapture the church before the tribulation. We are premillennialists. What does that mean? We believe that Jesus will come and establish his own kingdom. There will not be a kingdom upon this earth, and then one day it gets so good, Jesus said, I think I'll go down and take that kingdom over. Oh no, he's going to establish the kingdom himself. Pre-tribulationist, premillennialist, because that's what God's word teaches us. It pays to wait upon the Lord. I asked the question, how should we wait? I gave you five ways. Now, number two, second question, what are the benefits of waiting upon the Lord? Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. This is one of my favorite verses. I've got so many favorite verses, but this is one of them. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse number 31. I want you to look at it as I read it. Isaiah chapter 40. And verse number 31. And I back up to verse number 30 for just a word of comment. The writer Isaiah, and remember Isaiah was written 750 years before the birth of Christ. The prophet of redemption wrote, even the young people, he said, shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but... Now, that word but is a conjunction in the parts of speech. It connects what has been said with what is about to be said. Isaiah said, the young men of strength, vitality, they're going to fail, they're going to fall, they're going to stumble. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What are the benefits of waiting upon the Lord? Number one, we obtain strength for the next length. Did you get that? Strength for the next length. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. Number two, we attain new heights for lofty height, for lofty flights. New heights. We gain new heights for those lofty flights that we're about to take. Mount up. Look at it. They that wait upon the Lord shall not only renew their strength, but they shall mount up with wings as eagles. You never saw an eagle scratching around in the dirt, flying away high. Tell me they can see over a mile, a worm down on the earth. Or they can see one of their little eaglets that's fallen out of the nest if they're soaring up a mile above them. Soaring like eagles. Attaining new heights for the lofty flights. Third thing, we maintain the pace throughout the race. They shall what? Run and not be weary. Running the race. Maintaining a pace for the race. We're in a race tonight. Paul says over in Hebrews, seeing we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. A fourth thing, we sustain the load along the road. What did he say? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. That's obtaining strength for the next length. They that wait upon the Lord shall mount up with wings as eagles. That's attaining new heights for lofty flights. They that wait upon the Lord shall not only renew their strength, mount up with wings as eagles, but they shall run and not be weary. That's maintaining the pace throughout the race. And then we said, they shall walk and not faint. Sustaining the load along the road. Listen, if you're waiting on the Lord, the load isn't nearly as heavy. And if you're doing it because of love, it gets lighter all the time. And the toils of the road will seem nothing when we get to the end of the way. Learn to wait. Practice waiting upon the Lord. Well, let's stand for our prayer. Such a joy to be here tonight. I don't know of any place I'd rather be than right here. I enjoy preaching in other places, but I don't ever enjoy preaching like I enjoy preaching to you folks. Last Sunday was such a marvelous day. You know what? I've just got a sneaking suspicion. Now, don't tell anybody I said this, because I wouldn't want that rest of that crowd to know. But I got a sneaking suspicion that some of you people have been praying for your pastor more than you've ever been praying for him in your life. Amen. I got a sneaking suspicion that that's true. And I want you to keep it up, because praying pews and powerful pulpits make perfect partners. And I want to be your partner in this great work. Heads are bowed.